Heather and I have just come back from Mapleton this morning. Yeah, we had to get out of bed a little bit earlier than what we have been. But we've been on a fortnight's holiday. And just very, very quickly, I recommend two books to you. Now, I'm not a real fast reader, but there is one called Son of Hamas. Son of Hamas. Now, has anybody read it? Wendy has. Good on you. And this guy over here, thanks. I tell you, it'll open your eyes. It's a book that you cannot put down. Now, this guy, he is the son of one of the Hamas leaders. He's a sheikh. And this guy Hamas runs the Gaza Strip in Israel. And being a son of Hamas, he knew what was going on. And incredibly, he became a Christian. And that's what it's all about. And incredibly, he also worked for the secret service of the Israeli government. And if you, in the making, living in Gaza and being a spy is some pretty hairy business. So I highly recommend that book to you. He is actually, he'd be about 30 year old now. The book was finished in 2010 and he was 27. So he, somewhere around about 30 or early 30s. So this young guy is in America now. He's got asylum there. And no doubt there are probably people after him. Because he's written in the book some of the stuff that only spies know. And it would have caused an explosion in a few places. So, and the second book that I read, and I'm going to share from this book this morning. This is actually a biography. Scott knows the family quite well. It's a biography of a missionary couple who went to Indonesian Borneo. The area is called Kalimantan. Bruce and Annette Rattray. Now, Heather and I know them. Bruce is with the Lord now. He died a few years ago. But I started reading this book. Now, as I said before, I'm a slow reader. But I tell you, in 2 days I read this book. I could not put it down. And I'm going to share with you a few pages from this book because, you know, the way Bruce was feeling at the time is the way I've been feeling for quite some time. And now, just a little bit of history. Bruce was born in Tasmania. His parents were dairy farmers. And he and his father came to know the Lord at nearly together, not quite, but they became Christians, and Bruce's father, Warren, became a prayer warrior. And the Lord, Bruce Rattray, he's about my size, as strong as a Mallee bull, and he loved AFL, kind of not like that, but he also loved cricket. And very sportsmanlike. But once he met the Lord, things really, really changed. Bruce was a real extrovert. Honestly, he has spoken at Gilmorian Convention several times, and because my name's Bruce, we meet, he remembered me, and I tell you, when you got a handshake from Bruce, yeah, it was well shook. So, tremendous man of God. And that book will tell you how he went through Bible college, and he and Annette and their family, they've got two boys who are both in missionary work right now in Brisbane, Paul and Simon. And Bruce and Annette spent 30 years in Kalimantan. Bruce is the sort of guy so fit, so strong, that he can beat the Indonesians through the jungles of Borneo. He can walk, he trekked thousands of kilometres through the jungle. And many, many churches were formed up there in Kalimantan. So, let's start. I'm going to read to you a few pages out of this book now. And excuse me, glasses. I'm getting new glasses next week. But, yeah. All right. Bruce's appetite with God kept growing, and he still couldn't escape the nagging feeling of restlessness, frustration, and failure. All the blessings he was drinking in seemed to make it rise to the surface. He knew about confession and forgiveness. He knew he can bring to Christ his wrongdoing and wrong thinking, be forgiven, and start again. But he was aware of a deep lack of spiritual resources. Was life just going to be a round of failing, confessing, being forgiven, starting again? Or were there resources somehow in God that dealt with the power of sin as well as the guilt of sin? The solitude and the intense search for truth only highlighted this great blot in his personal landscape. He knew about forgiveness. He knew what it was like to have a heart full of love for Christ. But where was the power to live consistently? And you know, friends, that one sentence, where was the power to live consistently, really struck home to me. The New Testament talks about victory, not just forgiveness. Deep within, Bruce knew he had not accessed these spiritual resources. He echoed Romans 7:22, "For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. Or more simply, what wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" Like many believers before and since, he was struck. He was stuck in his Christian experience at the end of Romans chapter 7, and unable, honestly, to make an affirmation in Romans chapter 8. Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. And so this book goes on to share with what Bruce was experiencing, and I must confess that, you know, for some time I've been in this hurly-burly of knowing things are what I've been thinking, maybe what I've been saying, maybe what I've been, how I've been handling things has not been right. And as I said before, Hannah and I have just come back from Mapleton, and you know, you see so many things. One of the things that we had up in the flat that we had up there was there were Buddha images all around the building. There was a Buddha image inside the kitchen. And so, well, as you can imagine, we put them away. Got them out of there. And we started watching a couple of movies. One was Schindler's List. Now, many of you have probably seen that movie. And then the other one, what was the other one, Heather? I've forgotten the name of it. But anyway, this guy had been to Vietnam. And anyway, you know, sadly, and I know this happens in a lot of movies today, is that there are love scenes in both of those movies. And you know, something inside of me was saying, look, you know, it's great to watch these movies, but gee, I wish they'd cut that sort of stuff out. Because, you know, Schindler's List, I'd never seen it before. It told the story of Germany and Poland and what Hitler did to the Jews. Absolutely horrible. And so, and anyway, both Hannah and I, after seeing those two movies, said, right, no more movies, we'll get clean stuff. It might have to be G, but it's going to be clean. And you know, that's the world we live in, isn't it? That's the world we live in. The double standards are there, and we've got to deal with them. And so we found, we did watch other movie, and it was great. But then I was thinking about what we can speak about this morning. And so when I started reading this book of Bruce's, I really felt that God was saying, I want you to keep going. And so I'm going to read to you from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. And I'll read it out of this book because I'm not sure what version it is, but it's very, very good. Paul, as you know, is written to the Ephesian church. And the Ephesian church was very alive and well. In the earlier verses of chapter 1, Paul gives a very high recommendation and encouragement to the church there in Ephesus. But then he says this, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope in which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present, but also in the time to come. You know, when Paul was writing to those people in Ephesus, he encouraged them, and he also prayed for them, that God would meet their hunger to learn more about him. And so Bruce made this prayer his own, using it like a hand to tug at Christ's robes, enlighten my eyes that I might know. One morning for about a week of praying this prayer, Bruce was reading John's account of the crucifixion, death and burial of the Lord. Suddenly, Bruce recounted later, the Lord asked me this question. Did Jesus really die? I remember the terrible scourging, the agony as he hung nailed on that awful cross, the loud cry, the thrust of the Roman spear, the body wrapped in grave clothes covered with a mixture of myrrh and aloes. And I replied, yes, Lord, he surely died. Then ever so quietly, it seemed like as if time stood still, he spoke again for just a few words which totally transformed my Christian walk. And this is what God said to Bruce. If he died, then you died. For you were in him when he died. And you know, those words just confirmed to me in the experience that I've been going through that when he died, I died. You were in him when he died. Then I understood everything was in Christ and I was in Christ. I did not have to strive to become a branch of the vine. I was already part of the vine. Remember Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, abide in me. And then he says, if I had been crucified with Christ, I had also been buried with him. If I had been buried with him, then I had also been raised with him. If I had been raised with him, then I was also seated with him. This meant that as I was now a partaker of his victory over the world, the flesh and the devil, I am actually reigning with Christ. The truth of union with Christ did not mean that Bruce never sinned again. What it did mean was a certainty and an easy freedom about his life and ministry from then on. He knew who and what he was. Christian living was about applying what was true, not trying to make something true that wasn't true. Count yourselves dead to sin but alive to God in Christ Jesus. The truth of this union with Christ dominated Bruce's life ever afterwards, just as it predominated in Apostle Paul's letters, with his repetition of the words in his letters, in him, in Christ, with him, together with him. In earlier verses, Paul says, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you, and your love toward all the saints. Every Christian believes and loves. Faith, love, and hope are basic Christian graces. Paul prayed that God would give spiritual wisdom and understanding so that we might grow in our knowledge of God. You know, to me, that means I want to grow more in my love and my walk with the Lord. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. For me, it means I've got to spend more time reading and studying God's word and in the prayer. Let's read verse 18. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light. In that version I just read, it said enlightenment. Enlightened, so that you can understand the wonderful future he has promised to those. Paul prays that God will, he prayed that God would open our eyes and our hearts to understand the wonderful future that we have in Christ. And the incredible power for us, for us who believe in Christ Jesus. Friends, we have a future inheritance. That's amazing, isn't it? And friends, we also have a hope in eternity. We'll spend time with God. You know, it's amazing when I think about the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead and placed him at his right hand. You know, it's wonderful that we have direct access with God there right now. You know, that power of God was so great. And Heather is marvellous. You know, Heather hasn't read this. And she talked about the great power of God when he created this world. He created light. He created the land, the oceans. He created the plants. He created the animals, the birds and the fish. And then he created man. In the early verses and then verse 19 he says, I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power that raised Jesus from the dead. Satan at the time had the power of death. But God used greater power to raise Jesus from the grave, and greater power still to place him in heaven at his right hand. And you know, as I said, we have direct access to God through Jesus. Jesus is also above all powers of authority and the leaders and anything else in this world and the world to come. And as I read this book and I understood that in Christ we can have that power too. Satan is a defeated foe. And we can be powerful and tell him to go. If I am in Christ, I am crucified with Christ and I am buried with him. If I am buried with him, then I am also raised with him. And if I am raised with him, I am also seated with him. This means I am a partaker of his victory over the world, over the flesh, and over the over the devil. We have that power that the Lord Jesus gives us. Paul prays that God would give spiritual wisdom and understanding so that we might grow in our knowledge of him. To me, that means, again, I read that before, that God wants me to spend more time with him in prayer and also in Bible study. And then, I've lost it. Yeah. Paul prays that God would open the eyes of our eyes and our hearts to understand the wonderful future for each one of us. The incredible power that he used for the Lord, to raise the Lord Jesus and place him at his right hand. And so we have a future that we, and that God can use us. I'll read those words again of Bruce. If I am crucified with Christ, I am buried with him. If I am buried with him, then I am also raised with him. If I am raised with him, I am also seated with him. This means I am a partaker of victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. I am reigning with him. I am reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the power in Christ that we can put Satan in his place and know victory through our lives, and we have a great God. Isn't that true? We have a great God, and he can be with us day in, day out. And so, friends, this morning, that was the what God was saying to me during the last week or so. And I found things rather difficult at times. And God, we have that power to stand against the devil. Heather and I went and saw Enoch and Shirley Pinkman during the week. And they send you their love and their memory of this church. But also we went and Enoch was sharing with us putting on the full armour of God and dealing with the things that come into our lives that aren't right. So friends, I pray that as we go into this new year, each one of us will stand firm and follow what the Lord wants us to do and trust him completely. And again, I very highly commend this book to you, because you'll see and you'll read of how God used a humble dairy farmer to win many souls into the kingdom up there in Kalimantan. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you that you are a great God, and that by your Holy Spirit you work in and through us to reach those around about. And Father, I thank you that in you we can have our complete and absolute trust. And Father, I ask that, Lord, as we go into this coming week, Lord, that we will know you're living in us. Your presence is so real. And the Father, that as we prepare to go into a new year in ministry here, and Father, in the school, we pray for that situation, Father. Again, Lord, you are greater than the evil one. And Lord, we ask that your work and your word will touch many lives in that place. So Father, we thank you for this time now in Jesus' name. Amen.